Well, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we're reading the fourth commandment, beginning at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Well, we're looking today at this fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've begun this series on the Ten Commandments, and we're now at this fourth commandment. As you know, I'm sure, the first four commandments have to do with our duty towards God, and the last six commandments have to do with our duty towards man, towards one another, towards our neighbor. And so we're looking at this fourth commandment, remembering the Lord's day, remembering the Sabbath day. Now, unfortunately, and I start off on a bit of a negative note, not everyone thinks this commandment is relevant for us today. Sadly, there are Bible teachers who disagree with us when they say this is not pertinent for us. This is a commandment that doesn't apply to New Testament believers. They say because it's part of the ceremonial law, and the ceremonial law was done away with in Christ, and we are no longer under the law, we're under grace. So we don't have to keep this commandment. But friends, we have to beg to differ with them, because the Word of God is so plain, really, on this subject as we study it. When we just look where this fourth commandment is located, it's not located in the ceremonial law, which comes later, but it's located in the middle of the Ten Commandments, the moral law which was given to God, the moral law which is a reflection of God, and the moral law which cannot be abrogated, it cannot be cancelled, either in this time or in eternity. It will go on in all eternity. So even the Sabbath day, we could say, never comes to an end when the world comes to an end, because then we enter into that eternal Sabbath day. It will be a perpetual Sabbath day. Of course, there's no time in eternity, like we have time and we have days and weeks. But in heaven, it'll be one continual Sabbath day, one continual day of worship. And that's how it's meant to be. But then as we remind ourselves also of the manner in which this moral law was given, it was given, as we read in verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. What an awesome way in which God gave these Ten Commandments. No other law was given in such a way. God himself spoke these 10 words. God himself audibly spoke these words. God himself wrote with his own finger these words on those tables, those tablets of stone. And so we have to disagree with those Bible teachers, sadly, who come to the opposite conclusion and say it's not relevant. It's as much relevant for us, friends, as the other commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. Thou shalt not kill. The Sabbath day, remembering the Sabbath day, is also relevant for us. Now, there were things in the ceremonial law which were added to the Sabbath day, such things as the Jews were not allowed to light a fire in their home. They were not allowed to pick up sticks on the Sabbath day. Well, that was part of the ceremonial law. That was, yes, abrogated when Christ came. That those particular do's and don'ts were, but the actual principle of the Lord's Day, that still continues with us. And that's what I'd like us to consider this morning. Now, the first thing I'd like to say about this fourth commandment is that it is a creation ordinance. It takes us all the way back to the beginning of this world, all the way back to creation. That's what's referred to here in verse 6. Why should we remember the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day? Why should we abstain from work for 6 days and have one day for worship? Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I would like just to look back at that Genesis 2 account, just to help us, I think, understand a little bit more about why we should keep the Sabbath day. If you look with me in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So, and God, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So here, friends, one reason why we should keep this Sabbath day still is because it's a creation ordinance. That means that it was given by God for at the beginning of time for everyone, especially for believers, but really it's also for everyone. Just like marriage is a creation ordinance for everyone, not just believers, so also this one day being separated is a creation ordinance. Now, friends, in the beginning, God knew, God could foresee after the fall, people would become reluctant to worship him. People would be reluctant to give time to him. He knew that we would become, sin would have such an effect upon our hearts and our lives that we would be prone to forget the Lord. And that's why he places a day in place. That's why he puts this in place for us, a seventh day. And he does it by example. Here we see in 6 days he creates the world, and on the seventh day he rests from that creative work. He could have done everything in one day. He could have done everything in 6 minutes if he wanted to, but he chose to do it day by day by day. A wonderful work, that amazing work of creation, flinging the stars and the mountains into place and bringing the seas and everything that is in it in such a wonderful and tremendous way. Who can compare to his creative work? But this is what he did. He chose to do it very deliberately in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rests. To help us to see, this is how we should organize our lives. This is the example God is setting for all of us that we must follow. 6 days to work and one day to set aside for worship. Now, when it says that God rested here on the seventh day, it doesn't mean he was tired. It doesn't mean that he was so exhausted, if I may say delicately. It doesn't mean that he needs to put his feet up and take a rest because he's so exhausted after all that he's done. No, friends, we're like that. One day's work for us exhausts us, and thankfully we have sleep to refresh us. But God doesn't need sleep. God doesn't need any of those human aids that we have and so desperately need. He doesn't need to rest. But what it refers to here when it says God rested is talking that he rested from his creative work, from that work of making things. That's the way in which he stopped, he ceased creating things. He has to continue, even on the seventh day, uphold the things he has made. He has to maintain it and sustain it. If he doesn't, well, the world in a moment would fall apart. If God, just for one moment, as the hymn writer says, hides his face, well, everything would just collapse in our world. And so he has to, in a sense, continue working. But it also has another meaning. Not only that he ceased from his creative work, but he rested in the sense that he stood back and he looked and he observed everything that he had done. And he said, it's very, very good. He declared all that he had made was wonderful. He admired his own handiwork. He rejoiced in what he had made. He delighted in everything that he had made. He celebrates, friends, even his own handiwork. And again, that's an example that God sets for us. That the day, this seventh day, is to be set aside for us to stand back and stand in adoration and admire what God has done in creation. And then notice in verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Not only did he separate it, but he added a special blessing to this particular day. No other day is blessed in this way. That those who keep this day will know that blessing, the spiritual blessing that comes from worshiping God, the spiritual strengthening that he gives, the enlightenment and teaching that he gives to people. These are the blessings of this day. But there's a special blessing which he attaches to this one day set aside for him. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12 and to 15, we won't turn to it now. But there we read of another thing added to the thoughts and the worship material for the Jews, the deliverance from Egypt. As well as remembering creation, in Deuteronomy, Moses said, remember also how the Lord delivered you from bondage. Of course they should remember it. It was a tremendous deliverance. They shouldn't forget it. And the Lord's Day was to be a time remembering even what the Lord had done then. So, friends, it's only natural, it seems, for us to, when we think of Christ's redemption, when we think of that cross work, the greatest work that God has ever done, that plan of redemption fulfilled by Jesus Christ, it's only very natural for us to say this should also be a part of our worship on the Lord's Day. So we think, yes, of creation, but especially we think of the Lord. And we think of his death, and we think of his resurrection and his triumph over the evil one, and we think of our acceptance with God through what he has done, and we're thankful to him for us as New Testament believers. This is a blessed day. This is a special day, a day of a time of reflection, a time to praise and thank the Lord, and a time to rejoice in him, to draw near to him together. Now, I would just as well like to look a little bit at these words individually. Verse 8, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember, first friends. This is the first thing we are told about this fourth commandment. Don't forget it. Remember, look back how God gave it from the beginning. Look back and see the meaning and the purpose of it, the reason why he gave it. Remember that example that he has set. Don't give every day to your work if you can help it, if you're not forced into it, but remember to keep at least one day aside for worship. Thankfully, in our country, the Sunday is still preserved, and we still have this Lord's Day. It's not anything like it used to be. I remember when I was growing up in the 70s, well, a lot of the shops were closed. And I think some of you are a little bit older, will go back even further, probably know even less, even more restrictions that there were on the Lord's Day. But I remember when growing up, there were hardly any sports played on the Sunday. There were hardly any shops open. Only the corner shops were open. And it was a very quiet day. There were hardly any buses. But now things are so different. Things are so hectic and becoming more or less like any other day. So we have to remember, set aside one day for worship. Remember the instruction that God gave to us at creation. Look back and remember. But then also look forward. Look forward. Keep it in your mind. Don't forget about this instruction. Don't forget about this directive as you go forward into each week. Remember, oh, the Lord's Day is on Sunday. I have to keep it aside. I have to keep it separate. I better not let anything intrude into that particular day. So I'm not going to arrange any meetings on that day. I'm not going to arrange any business on that day. I'm not going to arrange any even birthday parties on that day. The day must be for the Lord. And so we remember these things even when we are planning each week and the activities of the week. The next word is remember the Sabbath day. And again, this word Sabbath day, Sabbath, comes from the word meaning to rest, to abstain from our labors. And it could also mean intermission, the leaving of one work in order to do another, to leaving one kind of work in order to take up another kind of work. And this is what the Sabbath day is for. This is what the Lord's Day is for, that we abstain from our normal employment, the things we usually do in the 6 days, in our secular employment, and then we set aside that one day to engage in another kind of work, the spiritual work. Spiritual thoughts will engage our time. These are the things that we will give to. We will think a little bit more about our spiritual lives on this day. Not only when we're in church, friends, but the whole day. We want to think about the Lord and make a point of thinking about Him and seeking to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, to hear His word. It's a day set aside for Him. 6 days to work, one day for spiritual worship. 6 days to work. Don't forget that part as well. Some people don't want to work. Some people want easy money without working. Some people want to get the money to grow on trees. They say money doesn't grow on trees. Some people want it to grow on trees in an easy way to come to them. But it doesn't, friends. This is the biblical way for us that He teaches us. We have to work, and then we have our spiritual activity on the Lord's Day. Some believers mistakenly think that this rest means, oh, go to church in the morning, and then I can put my feet up for the rest of the day. Then I can do whatever I like. So I put my feet up in front of the TV after I've had a good lunch, and I snooze away, and then I wake up and just mill around the house maybe, and that's what I do. That's how I spend the Lord's Day. And we maybe pacify our consciences by saying, well, at least I've been in the morning to the Lord's day. Friends, it was never meant to be a day of inactivity, inaction. The Lord was working on the seventh day. Yes, we can have some refreshment. Yes, we need some physical refreshment, but it shouldn't be a day of complete inactivity and inaction. That would be quite wrong. Listen to John Calvin. John Calvin said on this commandment, the design of the institution must always be kept in memory. For God did not command men simply to keep holiday or to have a holiday every seventh day, as if He delighted in their indolence, but rather that they, being released from all other business, might more readily apply their minds to the Creator of the world. So we set aside those our worldly things in order that we can think upon our Creator, Redeemer, God. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep. The word here to keep is to hedge about, as with thorns, to guard, to protect it, to care for it. Well, we need to do that with the Lord's day. It's a day for spiritual activity, so you want to guard it. Make sure nothing comes in to spoil that day. Make sure we don't allow things in which are going to turn us aside from keeping the Lord's day. You want to protect this day as much as we can. So even legitimate things, friends, could spoil this day. We have to guard ourselves from indulging in legitimate things even. Things that we would be fine on the other 6 days, maybe we shouldn't do on the Lord's Day, watching TV, entertaining ourselves. That's not necessary on a Sunday. You say, well, that's very hard. I can't do that. It can be done, friends. If we ask for the Lord's help, these things can be done. Shopping as well. All these things, we don't want to encourage others to open their shops. We don't want to give trade, if we can, to those who are opening on the Lord's Day. But we ourselves want to make sure we guard. And even these things, which on any other day would be fine, we want to abstain from on the Lord's Day. Keep it separate. Keep it holy, the words here says. That is separate. Distinguish it, friends, from all other days. Look on it as a special day. Look on it as a precious day. Separate it for the Lord. Yes, our every day is for the Lord, but in an especial way, I'm going to separate this one day. I have 6 days to do my work, but the seventh day must be different, set aside for church and for Him. Now, if you don't mind, I will just sort of change tack a little bit and address, there may be questions in your mind, which I will just, in a small way, try and answer some of those questions. If these things maybe are somewhat new to you, you've never heard such teaching before, well, let me try and help you a little bit in case you're overly concerned. But are there any exceptions? Are there any works that are permitted to be done on the Lord's Day? And the answer is yes. Of course, the Lord knows that life has to go on in the world. Some of us are working in care homes, and you cannot leave the residents on their own to look after themselves. They need help. Some of us are doctors or nurses. They need attention. And the Lord understands that they need to be seen to. And so it's quite legitimate. They're not breaking the Lord's Day. They have no choice. They're doing something which is actually good and helpful for others. Others maybe are working the police. Some even we could say this day are security guards. And they have no choice. They have to work those long hours. They have to work the weekend just to put food on the table to support their family. Even some of us maybe are working in IT. I remember from my days in IT, the systems went live on a Saturday, Sunday, the weekend, when no one was in the office. And so you have no choice. You have to sometimes go in on a Sunday. But if we can help it, friends, we try not to. Even transport. This is a little bit contentious, maybe. I know up in Scotland, not everyone would agree with this. But today, in London especially, we think, transport, I think, is a necessary activity for the Lord's Day because it helps so many. Without it, so many wouldn't be able to go to church. Not everyone has a car. People need the buses to even make it to church. And so, in some sense, it's a necessity. But friends, where we have a choice as to whether we should work Sunday or not, I believe we should always turn it down. Most of the time, anyway, turn it down. Even if you're offered double pay, turn it down. Because it's better to honor the Lord on His day. Why do we worship on Sunday and not Saturday, some may ask. And some people are very insistent, and some groups even say, if you don't worship on Saturday, you're not a Christian, you're not a believer. Why do you worship on Sunday? Well, we haven't got time to go through all the scriptures, but you look at the New Testament pattern that has been set for us. Jesus rose from the dead on the Sunday. He appeared to the disciples on the first day of the week, that resurrection day. He first appeared in the morning, then appeared, or rather in the evening, He appeared to them. And then He appeared to them 8 days later, the next Lord's Day. And He set a pattern for us. And then you look at the way the early church met together. They also, this was their practice, to meet on the Lord's Day. In Acts chapter 20, we read in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So the day is changed. In fact, friends, the principle is not it must be Saturday or it must be Sunday. The principle is actually one day in seven. If you were living in an Arab country, in a Muslim country, well, their off day is Friday. And then you'd have to worship on a Friday. Sunday is a working day. Saturday is a working day. Well, then you have no choice. But it's the principle of one day in seven must be set aside. For us, thankfully, it's this first day of the week, ideally, that we follow. So just briefly, you can check up some of these scriptures in John 20, verse 19 and 26, of the Lord's appearing to his disciples, and why we meet on a Sunday, not a Saturday. How much of my time, somebody may ask, should be set aside? How much of the day? Is it really the whole day? Well, yes, friends, it's the whole day. This is the proportion of time that God has indicated to us. I haven't dictated it to you. This is what he says in his word. If it had been left to us, what would happen? Person A would say so much. Person B would say so much. Person C would say, no, I disagree with both. It should be so much. We would have no consensus. We would have no idea how much time we should spend. The time is determined for us. Some would shorten it. Some would lengthen it. There would be this disagreement. And then we would not feel it's binding. Somebody says, oh, you should spend half a day. Well, there's nothing authoritative about what he says. But when God says it, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, then we have to submit ourselves to him. Then we say, this is what he says. I must yield to him. Do we find that difficult, friends? We find it difficult to spend one day for the Lord a week? Oh, friends, perhaps there's something wrong with us. If we find it difficult, if we find it hard, if we are a believer and we find it hard, is it hard? Or perhaps we're not really there. It may be an indication if you're struggling to come to church and you struggle to be in the Lord's house and you find it a chore to be in the Lord's house and not a delight, then maybe, friends, we need a little bit of a self-examination, a little bit of a checkup to see where we are spiritually, because believers should love to come. Shouldn't be coerced to come to the Lord's house. You shouldn't have to be phoned up every week saying, where have you been? Can you come? Are you coming this Sunday? Or it should be a willing matter with each one of us to come. What will we do in heaven? Heaven is the whole day, the whole time. There is no secular work. Not in the sense that we know it here. But heaven is the whole time in the Lord's house. It should be a joy to us. But one final question, and I'll spend a little bit more time on this, but what should I do on this day? How should it be spent? Well, friends, look forward to the day, I'd say first. Treat it as special. Call it a delight, the scripture says. Look forward to coming every week. Think of it with anticipation. Oh, the Lord's day is coming. I'm going to meet with the Lord's people. I'm going to hear his word. I'll have a time to worship the Lord together. I'll have a time for spiritual blessing for my soul. Oh, I can't wait for it to happen. Don't think of it as a hindrance. Never think of it, oh, I can't wait for it to be over so I can get back to my studies and get back to my work. No, friends, resolve in your hearts that you will honor the Lord and his day. Practically prepare for it as well. Get all your shopping in by the Saturday. Get the tank filled up. Do your homework by Saturday night. Be ready for Sunday. Get an early night, friends. I hope you don't mind these practical instructions. Try and have an early night on the Saturday night. You know, I used to, in a previous place, and where I used to preach, there was a couple, And every time I got up to preach, their heads would go down. Now one or either of them, their heads would go down and they'd be off, they'd be sleeping. Sometimes both of them would be sleeping during the preaching. And I managed to catch up with them once and said, you know, ask them about this. And from their own mouths, they said, well, they used to stay up into the early hours of Saturday morning or Sunday morning, talking about politics. And that's why they were so tired. Oh, friends, we don't want to do that. We want to think ahead. We want to prepare for the Lord's Day in a better way so that we can give our full attention, our full mind, begin the day with personal devotions. The highlight of the day, of course, is coming together with one another, with our brethren for corporate worship, coming together as one man. This last week in our Bible study, we looked at Nehemiah chapter 8 and how the people asked Ezra to come and to teach them. The people were desirous. They said, bring the book of the law and teach us, read it to us, explain it to us. The initiative came from the people. They had a hunger and a thirst for it. The early Christians as well, they had a similar desire for corporate worship. They didn't have to be forced to come together. They delighted. In fact, we read in the church at Jerusalem, they met every single day. They were delighted to come. They needed no reminder. Oh, some friends say, but there's no direct New Testament command telling us to do this. But the worship, as we read here on the first, on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day, is a principle still applicable for the New Testament times. And it was so common, friends, in the churches then, there was no need for a New Testament command. Everybody was doing it. When things did start to go a little bit astray, and people did stop attending the meetings, what happened? Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So it's the word went out. And it's the same for us. We mustn't neglect the meeting together of the Lord's with the Lord's people. We don't want to become online worshipers. Today there's a great temptation, friends. Don't be an online worshipper. I'll just worship from my home. I'll turn on YouTube or I'll turn on Facebook and I'll catch the live service from there. Well, friends, those live services really are for people who cannot make it to the church. But for us who can, we should. This is the day of the Lord. And it's also a day for the Lord and also a day for you. Just like we read in Mark 2 and verse 27, Jesus said to those scrupulous Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Man was created first and the Sabbath followed. It's for your spiritual blessing, for your spiritual benefit, for your spiritual good that this day God has put us in place. How does it help us, friends? Well, it helps us, but helps to set us to set our priorities in the right place again. Maybe we've forgotten during the week. Maybe you've let them slip. Maybe the things of the world have become more important to us. We come back to the church and the meeting and we're reminded, oh, I must seek the Lord and the kingdom of God, the salvation of my soul. Maybe I'm still seeking the Lord and I've been allowed myself to be distracted by the temptations in the world. And then I come back to church and I remember, oh, eternity is before me. What am I doing? And my soul is not right with God. And we're reminded of these things and we refocus again. Oh, friends, this fourth commandment helps us to keep all the other commandments. Notice how it's even placed in the middle of the ten. And when we come to church, once again, you are reminded in the Lord's house of our duty to God and our duty towards man. Those things will come out in the preaching. So it's a help to us to keep all the other commandments. And as we said already, it's a reminder of heaven. To come to the Lord's house is a foretaste of heaven. And it should increase as well a desire in us for the real thing. That, oh Lord, we cannot wait for that day. And we long for His coming when He will come back again. And then we are also encouraged when we come to the Lord's house through fellowship, through our conversation with one another. We may be in your workplace or in your school, in your class. There are no other believers. You're the only one. And you come to church and you look around you and you see, oh, there is that brother, that sister, that friend. They're saved by grace. They're like me, walking along this way to glory. And we are encouraged to think we are not on our own. There are others traveling with us on this pilgrim pathway. Yes, it's a difficult pathway, but the Lord is with us, and we have all these friends with us. And then it's a day also for spiritual strengthening. Not only as we hear the word, not only as we come together, but even through service, friends. Even through doing something for the Lord, helping out with the Sunday school. Can you teach a Sunday school? Can you help with the driving? Can you help with the collecting of the children? Or can you help in some way? Can you offer yourself and say, I'm here. Can I help in some way to serve the Lord on His day? In doing something, that you will also find that a strength, a spiritual strength to you. Well, I leave it there, but there are so many blessings that the Lord has attached, and it's so helpful for us in this walk that we have. Dear friends, this is our close. This is one reason why we have two meetings on the Lord's Day, not just one, to give us all an opportunity to come once in the morning and again for the gospel service in the evening at 6:30. Don't think, oh, it's only for the unbeliever. It's for us, for all of us, to come and to hear God's word. It's for our spiritual gain. It helps us, friends. Otherwise, how will we spend our time at home? Yes, you can read a Christian book. Yes, you can listen to a sermon at home. That's all good. But usually, we will stray. We won't know what to do with our time. We will misspend the time, most likely. Come to our evening service, friends. Come and support the Lord's work. Come and hear His word. Come and hear how to reach to others through the gospel. This is to attend, friends, just one meeting. What does it say about us? We prefer the world. We can't wait to get back to the world. Or we prefer ease to the Lord. All these things are searching, isn't it? But we have to examine ourselves. Of course, we understand. Sometimes people cannot come because they have very young children to look after, or they're not well, they're sick, and those things, of course, are understandable. But where we can, we try. Well, friends, look forward to this day. Every week, treasure it, call it a delight, remember it. God has put it into place. Never neglect it. Don't think of it as a burden. Think of it as a joy, a delight to come to the Lord. Well, may these words and this message be a help to us. Let's close by singing our final hymn, number 449, More Gratitude Give Me, 449.